This is the Pick of the Bunch by Basic Bananas, where we share the pick of the bunch when it comes to marketing, business, and people.
Hi, and welcome back to Pick of the Bunch. Today, I'm joined by one of our amazing Clever Bunch facilitators, Kevin Bees, and we are discussing the 8 laws of marketing you can use in your own business. Have fun. Hey, Kevin, thank you so much for joining us today.
Francisca, great to be here.
So today we are discussing the most important laws of marketing that help you increase conversions. So do you want to just kick it off by sharing a little bit about these laws and where they came from, and then we can go into some of them?
Yeah, of course. There's probably 8 different laws that I have in my mind that I'd love to discuss through, and no doubt you probably have some great input as well yourself, Francisca. A lot of these laws come from a couple of different places. One of them from a book called The Influence, The Psychology of Persuasion by a guy called Robert Cialdini. He probably has the bulk of the laws that I'm going to talk about and share with the listeners today. The first law I wanted to talk about was the law of reciprocity. And I think this is something that we've all experienced. I don't know if you've ever had that experience whereby, you know, you've gone out with a friend and they've bought you the coffee or they've bought you dinner. So you kind of feel this subconscious connection that next time you want to buy the coffee or you want to buy the dinner, or if they've helped you move house or do something like that, then you feel as though you kind of psychologically you owe them something. You want to give them something back. And this is the idea of reciprocity. I mean, and the way that it can work in business quite frequently, if we can be the person who, or the organization who gives a gift to someone or give something of value to someone, it can sometimes set up a psychological contract where they feel as though they wish to give something back and give something in return. A good example that Cialdini shares in the book, he talks about in a restaurant, you know, at the end of a meal when they come and give you like a fortune cookie or a mint, something like that. Well, they did a bit of an experiment. They actually wanted to assess how the giving of those mints impacted the level of tips in the restaurant. So they had the waiters give one mint, right? As opposed to giving nothing, they gave one mint at the end of the meal and tips went up 3% above the norm. And then they decided they would try and get the waiters to give 2 mints at the end of the meal. And the waiter gave 2 mints and tips went up 14% above the norm. And then what they did, they got the waiter to give 1 mint. And as he was walking away, turn around and give a compliment and say something like, I really like you people. You can have a second mint. That increased tips 23%. So the whole idea behind this law of reciprocity is that, hey, if we give something, you know, because we wish to give it, and then particularly with that final example, if we give it and it's like it's unexpected and it's personal, the waiter made it personal, saying, hey, I like you, you guys should have extra, then that can create this relationship whereby people wish to give something in return, you know, to you or wish to do business with us. Does that make sense?
It makes so much sense. And it reminds me of an example where I got impacted by this law of reciprocity years ago when I was in Spain, traveling through Spain. And I think I was in Santiago de Compostela in front of a bakery, walking past the bakery actually in the streets in the night. And then there was a lady outside that was offering little treats from the bakery, just on a little platter. And you walk past and, you know, she sort of stops you and say, hey, would you like to try one of these special Spanish treats? And you try them, and then after, the lady would say, come inside and have a look, we have a lot of, you know, amazing delicatessen and delicious snacks in here. And you go inside and you just can't not buy something, even if you don't really necessarily want to buy a sweet treat, you just do because you just got something outside for free. And I had to buy it. Was even though I knew exactly that this law is totally impacting me now, I had to purchase something in the bakery. Now, with all the laws that we're going through today, I want to add a little disclaimer for our listeners. They're extremely powerful to use. And so it almost goes without saying that you want to use them in the most ethical way that you can. Because some people are abusing some of these laws and it's obviously not very good. So make sure that however you apply the laws, and as Kevin is walking us through the different applications, you just do it in an ethical way without fabricating too much of the law to make it the impact that you want.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really important point. And I think if you are giving something, it needs to be giving sincerely, not because you're expecting something in return. It's because you actually want to give. And that's exactly when people feel the intention, and that's when it has the most powerful. Now, your lady in Spain with her Spanish treats was a bit of a genius, because she was using two of the laws in one go. So not only was she using the law of reciprocity, she was also using this law of consistency. And the idea behind the law of consistency is that we want to remain consistent with the decisions that we've made. Mm-hmm. So when you were stood outside and the lady said, hey, do you like Spanish treats? You said yes. And then she said, do you want to try one of those Spanish treats? Well, you'd probably be a bit of a wally to say no, because you just said you like Spanish treats, right? So you're going to say yes again. So it's like, do you like them? Yes. That was a small thing to say yes to. And then, do you like, would you like to try them? Yes. Would you like to come to the shop and try some more? Yes. So you've made three small decisions already. And so to be consistent, when she says, would you like to buy some to take home, with you, then of course you're more likely to say yes. Now, what would have happened if you walked past that shop and she just immediately said to you, hey, Francisca, would you like to buy some Spanish treats? You probably would have said no.
No, thank you.
But
yeah,
because
exactly.
You've done a yes, and a yes, exactly. Then of course you were consistent. So she built you up slowly. And another example around that, they were in the book, Cialdini talks about there were two villages, okay? And they wanted to get the villagers to put up a promotional board in their front garden saying, like, drive safely through this village, right? Now, what they found is they had the two villages, they took a different approach. One village, they got 400% more people to put this advertising board on their front lawn than the other village. And when they looked at why and how did they do that? Well, one village, they asked them, like, 2 weeks before to put a small card in the window of their home saying, drive safely. So those people who put that card in their window, when they then subsequently asked them, would you put this, you know, billboard on your lawn, they were more likely to say yes, because it was consistent with that smaller action that they'd already taken. So I guess really the question is, from a business point of view, what small things can you do with your potential clients or prospects to get them to say yes to a small thing, to help them build up and build that consistency?
Exactly. And in a business sense, you know, this applies very much with your sales team, or when you're selling something, if somebody is not there yet to say yes to the maybe big purchasing decision, maybe you can get small commitments along the way that leads to the bigger commitment later on. And that's how you can apply this law in your own business. Quickly, also the law of reciprocity, I just thought I'd like to highlight some other ways for businesses to apply this one. Of course, if you have an opt-in, say a lead magnet or a giveaway on your website, to add value, that is a little bit of the use of law of reciprocity too, is giving something in return for their details, but adding value as you go, because then when it comes time for them to need your solution, they will be more likely to use you instead of your competitor.
Yes. Yeah. Really, really great example. Really great example. And I think I see that work real well, because when you go onto someone's website and they give you such value, you just feel almost, it helps you build that trust towards them as well. So, I mean, even outside the law of reciprocity, you're beginning to build that trust towards them, that you will actually begin to know them, like them, and trust them, and you want to do more work with them. And exactly. That brings us into one of the other laws, and almost like the law of liking. If we have people like us, then they're going to want to do more business with us. I mean, it's like, if you like someone, you're going to want to do business with them. And regarding that law, Cialdini talks about a study he did at a university, and they had two groups, and the two groups had a purpose to go and create a negotiation and get a successful negotiation. But they told one group, time is money. Don't mess around with chit chat. Just go in there, get the job done, get out. And then they told a second group, spend time on being social. Make sure you get to know the people, you know, build some rapport, make sure they get to like you, and then do your negotiation. What they found over the two studies, the group that rushed in with the time is money, they only had 55% of those negotiations had a successful outcome. Whereas the group that spent time on the social stuff, getting to like each other, had a 90% successful negotiation. So really taking that time then to build that relationship, get them to know us, like us, and trust us, can also be another great way to help increase that conversion.
Absolutely. And you know, there are other studies too, which, so the law of liking is, people buy from us if they like us and trust us, but also people are more likely to buy from us or you, the business owner, if they feel like they are alike. So when if somebody can connect with you on a certain level, so for example, if you talk to someone and there's something that you can connect with, say maybe you both have kids in the same age range, or you both surf, or you both are into golfing, or you both are into adventures, if you can connect on a little bit of a same level somewhere in life, they will also be more likely to like you because they feel like they are like you. Which I think that some of these studies that I've seen on this are really mind-blowing.
Yeah, absolutely true. And that works at the base psychological level of everything, doesn't it? Even if we strip that back, not even in terms of these laws, but how we communicate. Mm-hmm. If I'm the kind of person who is pretty calm and likes to communicate quite slowly, and then you come and try and sell me and you're super excited and super yes. happy, it's going to be a clunk. It's going to be immediate clunk. So absolutely, that's really, really important. So we've also got to match then, you know, the liking in terms of the hobbies, but also in terms of the way someone shows up. If you as a business owner can be flexible with your behavior and your approach to match what the other person expects or needs, then that's really gonna help massively.
Absolutely.
Too.
And it just takes awareness, and it is a practice. It takes awareness, but it's such an amazing human skill to have, that awareness of how is someone acting and behaving and reacting, and how can you match some of that without manipulating, but really making them feel at ease.
And that's what it's about. And if you're coming again back to intent, we keep bringing this back to intent, but if your intent is to serve that person and do good by that person, then you're never going to have an issue from that front, because they'll feel that. They'll feel your level of intention. So, and with that in mind then, Francisca, unless there was anything else you want to add on that, I think we should probably talk about the law of social proof.
Let's do it.
So social proof is super key, particularly in times of uncertainty. So when people are really uncertain, they can tend to look around and see what are other people doing? How are they behaving? Because that can often lead us to our choice or our decision. Now, I'll give you an example on this one that works real well. I was working in Adelaide. I was running one of the sessions down there for Basic Bananas. And I didn't know any of the restaurants down there. I didn't know which place was good. So I walked along and of course, I looked into this one restaurant and the menu looked amazing. I thought the food looked fantastic, but I looked inside and there was no one in there. Mm. And then I looked next door. The menu looks pretty average, but the place was full. Which one do you think I chose to go into?
The full one, unless you were totally aware of your behavior and you thought, no, I'm going to go to the other one.
No, like absolutely the full one, because I figured, right, all these people here, they must be locals. They must know this place. This must be the good place. There's a reason I assumed, rightly or wrongly, that the place next door probably wasn't as good because it was empty, right? But we look to see, you know, social proof. What are other people doing? You know, so particularly from a business point of view, testimonials can be really key. Or if you're on your social media, like your LinkedIn, recommendations or endorsements, these are some really powerful ways to get social proof for your business. Because if someone else is pointing towards, you know, towards us saying, hey, we're good people to work with, that's really gonna help. And I think in this day and age, particularly the internet age, this is probably more and more important, because when we think about the buying times and how long it takes someone to make a decision, usually they go through that process to check in with their friends, their family, other people they know, like, and trust, before they make a decision on purchasing.
Absolutely. And you know, you can even use the social proof if, say, I don't know, you've worked with 10,000 people or 500 people, to say that, or even to say, we've, you know, 500 people have already bought this product or this service, you could be the next person. That even works. And I'd like to share a little social experiment that I did years ago, maybe, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago. One of my friends, a Swiss friend, was living here in Sydney with me. And then she moved to Alaska and she had all this stuff that she wanted to sell. So she went to the markets somewhere, you know, like one of these markets where you can sell your stuff. And I did this social experiment using the law of social proof, where nobody was at her stand to buy her stuff. So I would go there and just look at stuff. And then, of course, because someone was already there, other people suddenly came and looked. But we took it even one step further. One girl, and it was really an experiment and it totally worked. One girl was looking at one of her jeans jackets, just looking at it. She was sort of interested, but not sure yet. And then I came along and I'm like, wow, this is a great jacket. And then I said to my friend, who obviously the girl didn't know she was my friend, I said, hey, if you don't sell this jacket, can you put it aside for me? I'm just going to go get my wallet. And then, of course, this girl just bought the jacket because social proof. It must be a cool jacket if I want it, if someone else wants it. And it was just a very interesting experiment.
What a great experiment. What a great thing to do. Your friend must have been very happy with the sales that you helped her do.
She was very happy.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just fun to observe human behavior.
Well, and it really is fun from that point of view. And when you talk about that, you probably invoked one of the other laws as well, which is the law of scarcity, mm-hmm. right? When things aren't going to be available for very long, or they're not going to, you know, there's only one of them, there's only one of these jean jackets, and someone else wants it, I better grab it now before it's gone.
Exactly.
Right? I don't want to miss out. And so this can work real well in a business context. You probably see this quite frequently, particularly like online flash sales. You know, these products are only available at this price for 24 hours. Or I know another great example when the Concorde aeroplane, when they announced that it was going to be decommissioned, you know, and it was no longer going to be running from London to New York anymore, mm-hmm. the sales of seats on that plane went through the roof. Like they were sold out very quickly because they said it wasn't going to be available anymore. So having a scarcity around your product or service. Now, I don't necessarily mean that you have to make up scarcity, but presumably if, for example, you're running an event and there's actually only 50 seats in the room, well, you should advertise that there's only 50 seats. And particularly if you've now sold out, you know, 30 of those, there's only 20 seats remaining. That scarcity is an important thing because, particularly from the social, since we're talking about social proof, the social proof and the scarcity together then can be a really powerful force to help people want to jump on, sign up for your product or your service.
Yeah, absolutely. We just actually saw the scarcity law in action again for one of our businesses called Ocean Lovers. And we only launched one of our first collections end of last year. And we only produced 30 of each style. We have two styles and we only had 30 suits, surf suits. And so we said that. We said there's only 30 of each for this first collection. And of course, people just really wanted that because it had scarcity on it.
Great. And so they've sold?
Yeah, no, we're down to the last few and we're now producing the next collection. But that's the thing about scarcity, because I was thinking, well, we could just do another run. It would be very easy for us to do another run of this same print. It's a really beautiful print and they're almost sold out. But I feel bad because I said there's only going to be 30 of each style. So I want to honor my word for people that have bought that. So we're just on to the next style now, the next collection. But it's something that I think businesses need to really have that integrity to go, no, now we've, so even if you do a campaign and you say for the next 24 hours, we're going to, you know, have a special deal on something, a product or a service, and you suddenly realize, wow, this is really working. Let's do another 24 hours. No, don't do it, because people will stop believing you if you don't come across as ethical, or if you don't come across as this is honest. So that for me, that was a dilemma for 1 second when I thought, well, I could sell a lot more of these suits if I just made another print run. But I decided against it because it's not really true to my word if I said there's only 30 of each suit.
And it, like, that boils down to your integrity and people know you, like you, and trust you. If you went ahead and did another print run of the same lot of suits, then your trust goes out of the window, right?
Exactly.
So I think that sounds like a very smart move. And what I love in hearing that story is, well, really, you point out what are the benefits, you know, of this. It was like surf suits,
yeah,
is it? It was,
yeah,
costumes?
Yeah, surf suits, like bathing suits that are made from recyclable fabrics, yeah.
Yeah, so the benefits is recyclable. You point out that it was unique. The pattern was unique. There's only going to be 30 of each of these kind. And, of course, people were clear what they stand to lose, because you're not going to do any more like this. This is like a one-off run. You're never doing any more. So,
yeah,
so that's
a
real powerful. What's
exactly
benefit? What's unique? And what are you going to lose?
And plus, if you stand by your word, it educates them for next time to act faster, because some people are missing out already on some sizes. So they know next time to better act fast.
Yeah, perfect. And I have another example I want to share with you, particularly since, you know, your best-selling book is about perception. I was explaining this law to a lady who was running a naturopathic clinic, and she was brand new, right? She recently qualified, so she had next to no customers. She had like a handful of customers. And she said, Kevin, how can I make myself scarce? Like, this is, you know, I've got so much time available. How do I make myself scarce? And it was really interesting, because as we were talking about it, her booking system must have been prepared for this kind of thing, because as she went into her booking system, she could put her appointments online. Now, she could either have it so that it showed every minute of every day available, so people could pick like the 40 hours from the week, or it could be set up so it only showed, you know, two or three appointments on a day. Now, that was clever because if someone was coming to look on her booking system and they had the option of two or three appointments during the day, they would probably assume that she's busy at the other times with clients, right? She's potentially not busy with those clients right now, but if they can see that she's only got a choice of three appointment times rather than eight in a day, it would increase, you know, from them, from a psychological point of view, that there's a scarcity here, there's less options, I'd better pick from one of these.
I love it. And that's such a good example. You know, the same example applies very much with, if we have any listeners, which we do, that are consultants, coaches, or anyone really that needs to make appointments with people, lawyers, accountants, rather than saying, you know, pick any day or any time of next week if you're not very busy, to just give one or two options. Again, to say, hey, how about Monday at 2 o'clock or Wednesday at 3:15?
Perfect. Absolutely great example. So that then probably brings us on then. Should we jump on to the fifth law?
Yeah, let's go for it.
Law of authority, in that we trust authorities and experts. We look to someone who has that credibility. So we've already spoken about know, like, and trust. Okay, so one of the good examples that they use about this in the book is Cialdini ran another experiment, or he was commenting on another experiment, and he had one person stood at a parking meter asking if someone could, you know, break a note and give change. Right now, what he did though is he got that same person to dress up in different outfits.
Oh, yes.
So the first time, yeah, it's a great example. He was dressed in very casual clothes, and he had next to no one want to, you know, stop and break change for him. Then they had that same person dress up, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but something in authority. It might have been a pilot's outfit. So he had the hat and the jacket, and he looked very smart. He had significantly more people willing to help him out and, you know, swap the note for change. Right now, what this tells us is that we look towards those people who have authority. We look to help them, support them. So particularly in our field, I mean, you mentioned just now about people who are maybe in the education space, the coaches, the trainers, and those kind of people. If they can do things to boost their credibility, boost their authority, whether that's having a book, whether that's having a program, anything that boosts that authority, even if you're like, I know, an accountant, put in like the affiliation, the logo of the company that you're affiliated with. So if you're a CPA, have the CPA logo on your website. Or here's an example for physios. What they found with physiotherapists is they got more people to follow through on the exercises that they gave, you know, that they gave out. Like here's your, like, if you're at my physiotherapy session, you need to go home and do these stretches. They had more people follow through on doing those activities or stretches if the physiotherapist had their certifications up on the wall in their treatment room.
Yeah, I love it. And even using content marketing, so writing content, if the listeners are into writing or creating video content, really demonstrating that you know what you're talking about. Also, something that you obviously shared in your example before is even the way you dress has a huge impact. And it doesn't mean that you have to wear suits or anything. You just have to, if you read Perception, our book, then you just figure out what is your style, how do you dress. But this is another example that I did when I was actually in high school. I've always been into psychology, so we always did random examples. Also, I lived in Switzerland where you can't surf, so I guess I had more time to do random experiments. So one of my girlfriends and I dressed up super beautiful. She had a beautiful, it was in the middle of the day, beautiful dress, like sort of a ballroom dress on, and I looked a little bit more like a bum. So we had this gorgeous dressed person, her name is Madeline, and me looking a little bit more like a bum, and so we would just walk into stores together and just pretend to be shoppers and just see how the shop assistants treat you differently depending on what you wear. And of course, you always got the very special treatment, especially in the high-end shops. And I was sort of a little bit more ignored and not taken super seriously as a shopper. And it was just interesting to see those behaviors. It's a little bit like the, you know, the Pretty Woman movie. You know how Julia Roberts goes in and then they wouldn't serve her. And it was exactly that. We had the same reactions.
That did come to my mind, that Pretty Woman scene, but I wasn't going to mention it. There was no way I was going to say that.
Oh my God. No, of course you wouldn't, because you haven't really seen the movie 10 times, have you?
No, I never sit there on my own with a big bucket of ice cream watching Pretty Woman all day.
Exactly,
long. No,
Kevin,
I never do that.
Of course you wouldn't. So we better move on to the next law, because otherwise we'll find out more about you.
Yes. And I certainly don't want to give away my secret that I'm a secret fan of Pretty Woman. Yeah. I spend all my time watching. And moving swiftly on to the law of contrast. law of contrast is really about if we present, you know, an offer against, you know, a more expensive offer and a lower price offer, it can help it seem like a really good deal. And I know, for example, someone like Gucci would do this very well. They probably have their Gucci handbags and they have this top handbag, then it might cost you $300,000 for this handbag. Or they might have their normal range for $3,000 handbag. Well, the $3,000 handbag looks way more appealing right now because it's in comparison to the $300,000 handbag. Or even this happens if you go to a restaurant and you take a look at the wine list and the list of wines on the menu, you know, and they put it in that order. So very few people want to go for the cheapest bottle of wine, you know. But you know, if you look at like the most expensive bottle of wine, you're probably going to pick something in between. I see this quite a lot on websites in this day and age as well. If you're going to go and sign up for something online, maybe it's like an accounting package or, you know, access to a program, quite often what they'll do is they'll have, right, here's the $49 option, and there's like three ticks in the box and you get these things. Here's the $99 option with, you know, with like lots and lots of ticks, you know, of all the things you're going to get. And here's the $200 option, and it's got like maybe one or two more ticks. And of course, they're pointing people towards that $99 option to say like, this is the best value. This is the one that most people go for because, hey, by comparison, it looks like you get way more for your money for the $99 option rather than the $49 option. And you don't look like you get as much more for the $200. So we can kind of point people towards what we want based on that contrast and that comparison.
Mm-hmm. Those are such great examples. You pretty much covered it all. I love it. Is there another law, or are you happy with those eight laws?
I've got one more I want to share as well.
The law of association?
Law of association.
You know why I thought maybe you don't want to share the law of association? Because you said eight laws, and then I thought, but there's nine, but there's actually, this is the eight, number eight.
Oh, yeah. And because I jumped around. I put in different orders.
No, I love it. But I think I was just confused with the numbers because I actually thought there's nine laws. And then I realized that, no, there's eight. This is the number eight.
Well, maybe we make one up today. Well, law number nine is the law of Francisca's experimentations. The pretty woman law.
the law of pretty women. There certainly is a law about that.
That could be a psychological law. I'm sure there is. I mean, if you have pretty women in your advertising, then it can certainly draw attention to an audience. Certainly. That's for sure. Maybe that is the ninth law. I've seen people do that really well. I know there's a very successful tea brand, and you may have heard of it, called Skinny Me Tea. Now, they do a great product, but a lot of their marketing and advertising, like I've gone to maybe their Instagram account, and it's a lot of very attractive women showing how they look after, you know, drinking the tea and going on diet. So, of course, there is something about that can really, really appeal in terms of like the visual aspect. So, yeah, hey, maybe that is the ninth law.
But that's almost, I think that definitely is the ninth law, which we'll definitely find. But that law that you shared now is almost a little bit more social proof and maybe even a little bit of contrast and a bit of liking too.
Well, there you go, and I think that's a great thing then. We don't just need to use these laws in isolation. Let's sprinkle them all together.
Should we sprinkle it off with the law of association?
Sprinkle it with the law of association. And I just got to ask you on this one, what does George Clooney have to do with Nespresso coffee?
Everything to do with everything. He's also actually George Clooney is also. I think the Swiss love him. He's also used on some of the watch ads, you know, like Rolex or one of the expensive Swiss watches. I don't remember which one it was. But yeah, so he's got everything to do with Nespresso and expensive watches. Wow.
So because people like George Clooney, then his association rubs off on the brand of Nespresso coffee or on the Swiss watch or anything else he puts his name to. Now, I guess for most of us as business owners, we probably don't have the budget to go out and hire George Clooney next week, but this can work in other aspects. And I have a great example. There was a couple that I know very well. They're very big in the yoga space through Instagram. They have like a couple hundred thousand followers on Instagram. Now, very smart clothing companies in the yoga space started sending them clothes to wear. right, for their Instagram pictures. And then they started paying them to be exclusive in their clothes, right? Now, the real power in that is because 200,000 people were looking on to these people as experts in the yoga space, and then they saw them wearing consistently that brand of clothing, that was a real great way to be associated. So other people who were looking onto them wanted to follow it. So are there people in your industry, people in your field, people that maybe have a following of the people that you want to work with that you can do something with to associate your brand with? Like, and it could even be having that person come along and speak at your event that might even give like an association for you or something of that nature.
Exactly. And you can even find some of these ambassadors or, you know, Instagram celebrities that could be a good brand alignment with your brand, then you can pay them a little bit of money to use your product or to, there are a lot of brands that are doing a really good job by finding people with a bigger profile on Instagram. They're not necessarily celebrities, but they have a big following. And exactly like your example, they would go and say, hey, can you use my blender once or twice and, you know, share a picture and tag us in and we'll send you a free blender and potentially, depending on how big the audience is, a little bit of money.
Done. Great example. And that's the eight laws plus the law of pretty woman born here on this show.
I love it, Kevin. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you. And I really appreciate you sharing the laws with us today.
No, entirely my pleasure. And best wishes. And I'm looking forward to catch you next time.
Yeah, same. Thanks. Bye, Kevin.
To get more from Basic Bananas and to learn new ways to grow your business with clever marketing, visit basicbananas.com.